Tonight's episode of the 31st Lap Podcast is brought to you by Demico, Chrysler, Dodge Jeep, and Ram, serving the Finger Lakes since 1963. And DirtTrackDigest.com. If it's on dirt, it's on Dirt Track Digest.
This is the 31st Lap Podcast, recorded live in the studios of FingerLakes1.com in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now, your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good evening. Welcome to the 31st Lap, back on FingerLakes1.tv. Excited to be here. Back again for another installment. We're going to be flying solo tonight. Going to be catching up with Rob Bellinger here in just a little bit. Give us about, probably 15 minutes. We'll be talking with him on the line about his season over there at the Brewerton Fulton Speedway. He's also going to be driving a little bit for, Ted Barkham and the number 11. So we'll be asking him some questions about that as we get going. But first order of business, we wanted to talk a little bit about, what things have been like here the last couple of weeks. Our condolences out to Bob Bowen, Amanda Bowen. And my wife, her mother ended up passing away last Thursday. It's one of the reasons why at the last minute we ended up canceling last Thursday's episode. She didn't quite recover from some aortic bypass surgery that was done, and further complications. She gutted out there a couple of days, and then we got the call Wednesday night to come back up to Buffalo, and she ended up passing away. So a bit of a sad couple of days here since last Thursday, getting through calling hours Monday and then the funeral on Tuesday, getting all that stuff planned out and going through that. It was a very difficult time, very difficult. But also the week before that, we had the tragedy at Canandaigua commentary, the short show that we did about 15, 20 minutes long, that has moved up to number 2 all time here on FingerLakes1.tv. Over 2,300 views on that, and that episode yesterday was featured on Stitcher Radio, which that's cool. Appreciate that, and appreciate all the support for the 31st Lap that's out there. All the same, it is a little bit difficult to look at ratings and pat yourself on the back for a good job done when it's tied to those situations. This is the third time this year that I've been involved with a rating spike like that. Earlier in the year with the Crash Course Derby podcast, we had a discussion about Ryan Clemo, who passed away under some dubious circumstances when he was with some friends back in March. And then again, just a couple of short weeks ago when Rick Engelhart passed, we had sort of the same thing when we had a tribute episode. It's nice that people want to remember and call in at the same time, being at the helm of shows like that. It's still very, very difficult, and it's nice to see that, but it's a bittersweet thing. At the same time, I'm not going to lie, I did screenshot when I saw that 31st Lap had been featured by Stitcher Radio, because that's something that was, we're pretty proud of that. It's a difficult one, but we're still pretty proud of it. A couple schedule things that we want to make note of before we get into this a whole lot deeper. We've got Championship Weekend coming up all over the place. We've also got International Classic Weekend coming up, Labor Day staple. They got all sorts of racing action. We'll get into that stuff as well. September 6th, the Sportsman Grit Series is going to be at Canandaigua Motorsports Park. So they do have one more race after this. And as of right now, after this weekend, and that'll end their season. As of right now, Fulton Speedway, after their Outlaw 200 weekend, scheduled for the first weekend in October, on the 18th of October, they still have on their schedule the Even Destruction Show with Chris Moraine of the Stunt Show, boat races and all that other stuff. There's some rumors that were circulating around through Facebook via text message, things along those lines, which had me a little concerned about whether that show was or wasn't going to happen. Right now, it's still on. I've got nothing to indicate otherwise. The point is, after Outlaw 200 weekend, they're going to want to winterize that track, get it sealed up and ready to go, especially with the less than favorable forecast, if you read the Farmer's Almanac that suggests what we're going to get through September and the rough winter ahead. So at this point, it got no news to validate that. I've seen notes and things along those lines suggesting that is off. I've put some phone calls into John King to see if he has heard anything. Nothing to report at this juncture. But certainly stay tuned, and we'll let you know if you're into some of that that oddball, off the beaten path racing stuff like they do, and you know, the stunt drivers and things like that that they've got on the EVA Destruction card. It might still happen. You might still be able to get to see that. That was originally scheduled back in the middle of August. August 12th, 13th, something like that. It was a midweek show, same night as the rescheduled Wacko Wednesday program over there at Canandaigua Motorsports Park, which ultimately both of those events were taken off the schedule that week because of the situation that transpired at Canandaigua the Saturday previous with Kevin Ward losing his life in the incident involving Tony Stewart, which we'll touch on here in a moment. And then also a rash of inclement weather, which made it somewhat impossible to get on the infield at Fulton. You know, given the way that it's built, all the ground is above the plane of the infield. So obviously water runs downhill and it flooded it pretty well. Tony Stewart is scheduled to get back into a car this weekend. We've seen a couple of different drivers step in, and Smoke is taking everything pretty hard. So it's good to see him getting back and into the saddle here and getting back going. We've seen a little bit here and there as things have gone on and discussions have continued and things along those lines. So, you know, at the same time, you look at Kevin Ward, and Kevin Ward was 20 years before that, where he is right now. Tony Stewart was Kevin Ward. And that's one of the things that sort of got lost in this too, you know, as we talked about some of the stuff that was going on. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, it's going to affect everybody close to it. It's going to affect everybody close to it for a long time. And Tony Stewart's making the effort to get back into the car and cleared to drive, and hopefully, his mental state has improved. I'm sure that this has been weighing heavy on him. I haven't had any personal conversations with Tony Stewart, and I'm not even trying to make it seem like I have at all. But it's and if you look at the way that it's hit our community here, Tony Stewart's a racer, and Tony Stewart was involved with that situation first person. And taking a little bit of time away probably wasn't a bad idea. He's going to be back in the car this weekend here, so we'll have to see how close that gets followed and what direction that conversation goes. In terms of action this weekend, we've got points races wrapping up. Canandaigua Motorsports Park, they're getting ready to cap everything, and they've got a ton of racing on deck with the challenges related to weather, with the different challenges that they've seen in terms of scheduling conflicts and some of the tragedies that have happened over there. Saturday is a full night with a regular show, plus they've got makeup features from August 16th for the modifieds, the 305 sprints, the street stocks, and the pure stocks. Eric Rudolph got his first modified win at Canandaigua in Mike Payne's car. He got the lead early on. Steve Payne rallied to get second by a nose over Matt Shepard, Billy Dunn, Gary Tompkins. They rounded out the top five. Matt Shepard leads the points at this point over Steve Payne by 19, with Dunn, Tompkins, and Justin Harris falling behind. Saturday's card with that two modified feature, not only is the holdover feature from August 16th, the regularly scheduled feature is paying double points. So that's going to be one of the closest watched modified point battles this weekend as we go through the course of championship weekend for so many different tracks. Steve Gray, he got his fourth win of the season in the sportsman division. Nine laps to go, he took the lead from Tyler Meeks. James Henry was second ahead of Tyler Meeks, Dave Marcicelli, Paul Guerrieri, Carl Comfort won the heldover feature that they had Saturday for the sportsman guys. Comfort took the lead from Frank Gray Jr. with only six to go. And Marcicelli leads the points by 19 over Steve Gray, Paul Guerrieri, Matt Guerrieri, Nick Guerrieri following in order. David Ferguson got a win in the 305 sprints on Saturday at Canandaigua. Alicia Ruggles advanced to second, followed by Dan Kuhn, who was an early leader, Nick Cooper, Steve Dole. Darrell Ruggles is leading the points hunt. He's got six wins and a pretty healthy lead in the points at this point, 64-point edge. Mike Welch picked up his 65th career feature, taking lead on lap 12, following a close four-car battle. Pete Stefanski looked like he had things in command, as it were, but had contact with Blaine Smith. They both spun out in the first turn with three to go, and Welch came out of that in the lead. Tommy Barron came out of retirement and ran to second, driving for Steve Pisarek. Stefanski ended up winning the heldover feature for that division. Pete's got 11 wins in that division. He's got a 58-point lead over Mike Welch, and Pisarek is third. Mike Minutolo got his fifth win of this summer taking the lead for, or excuse me, Mark Menudolo got his fifth win of the summer, taking the lead from CJ Guerrieri. Nick Dandino won the Hell Over feature for the Pure Stocks. Jason Scales won the new Legend Sportsman feature, taking the lead and going wire to wire. Points update, CJ Guerrieri is leading the Pure Stock points by only 8 over Menudolo, and those guys got twin features on Saturday as well. Again, we alluded to the Sportsman Grit Series, which is going to be at the track at Canandaigua after this weekend. They'll be there on September the 6th. Chad Phelps got the win over Matt Hulsizer in a crazy battle over there at Fulton. Billy Decker's got a 1-point lead. Is that right? That can't be right. Yep, that is right. Billy Decker's got a 1-point lead over Larry White, and Billy Decker was second Saturday at Fulton, and he had a heck of a night on his own. Decker flipped his car a ton during qualifying and then brought up the backup car and ran the backup car, got up to second and had a broken shock. So he had plenty. The points picture could be much bleaker for him had that situation not played out the way that it did. 1-point lead over Larry White going into this weekend's points finale at Fulton. Ron Davis is after his first title in the Sportsman division. He's got 640 points in his pocket, so it gives him about a 26-point lead over Beth Schneider, who's looking to repeat in the Sportsman division. Tony Finch and Mike Button and Fulton's SUNY Canton Sportsman series there, also in the top five among the points. Tim Sears and AJ Kingsley are going to be pulling out everything they can in the late models. They got a 20-lap feature on deck Saturday, and Sears is 18 points up on Kingsley at this point in the late models. John Cunningham has enough of an advantage in the 305 sprints to be the champion, and Chuck Polachek also crown champion in the four cylinders already over there at Fulton. Classic weekend is this weekend at Oswego. We'll get into that here in a little bit. Tommy Catalano won the modified feature and only his seventh start of the year over there at Spencer. Donnie Knapp made the winning pass in the four-cylinder feature. In the Onyx Legends, Brace Norton won his sixth straight, and Kyle Hutchinson took the 20-lap NY6A feature. Mid-State Vintage cars have been added to the card coming up this weekend. Brewerton rained out. Matt Shepard has 4 wins and a 27-point lead at Brewerton as they get ready to cap their season this weekend. Let's find the rest of that stuff here. That's over Billy Decker. After title night, Brewerton's going to open again Thursday, October 9th for the Hurricane 100 to 358 Modified Super Dirt Car Series race. You can get more information on that online at BrewertonSpeedway.com. And the other divisions, Joe Isabel leading handily in the Pro Race Card Mod Lights over Lowell Zur. Pro Race Cars Mod Light Spec Stock, Nick Graziano has a healthy lead over Jeff Blackburn. Both of those, I mean, you're not going to make up the point spreads that they've got in a single night, so those guys pretty well set. Chris Fleming looking real good in the IMCA Modifieds, and Chuck Polachek, again, he's got a 39-point lead in the Hilton's four-cylinder division over there at Brewerton, so it looks like he's going to be picking up his second track championship in as many nights once we get to this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Yates County Speedway, Dale Welty picked up his first career Crate Sportsman win over Casey Pavlik and Brady Fultz. Fultz says to make up only 4 points on Pavlik to take the division title on championship night, which is coming up this Friday. James Creedler was back in victory lane, winning the street stocks. Jeremy Potrabowski was second, and he's got an 18-point lead over Chuck Winslow going into this weekend's finale. Brad Seitz got his first win of the season, the IFCA Modifieds, with Brad Smith chasing him at the line. Rich Karnowski is 14 points ahead of Jared Spaulding in the IMCA division points. Darrell Ruggles won the 305 Sprint Car feature, and Brian Knowles won the late model feature. Knowles is 22 points ahead of Sparky Hills in late models, and Ruggles is 41 points up on John Preston in the 305 sprints. Chris Majewski won the four-cylinder feature. Allison Teed won the Bandit feature. Majewski is 54 points behind Scott Bradley, and Teed's dominating summer has given her a 48-point edge over Chris Davis going into this weekend's finale. Steve Poirier won the ESS show at Granby on Friday. Michael Perrant won the win at La RPM on Saturday. They were at ID8 this week for the Halaquist Memorial. Thunder Mountain, it's going to be there Friday and then Cole Cup weekend at Utica Rome, September 5th and 6th. That's the points rundown. That's everything we got going. Again, that's going to be, my phone is just going crazy over here. Let's see what we got. See if it's anybody that's got anything about the 31st lap stuff. Not sure what we got here. There we go. Okay, so nothing to worry about for us here. And what we're doing, I do need to get a phone number up so I can get a hold of Rob Bellinger and talk a little bit of racing stuff with him. Here we go. This is the part of the show where you get to watch me dial the phone. But we'll have Rob here in just 1 second. Rob's had a pretty decent season for himself. He got a win over Brewerton a little bit earlier this year. Sounds like Rob's not near his phone. We had this. We're trying to set this up for 7:30. Thought we were good to go. That's not promising, is it? We got the right number. We'll give it a minute, and we'll give him another buzz. Yeah, he got a win earlier this year, back at the end of June, June 24th, 28th, something like that, over at Brewerton Speedway. And he's been running pretty strong over at Fulton as well. So, I mean, it bodes well going into some of these late-season special events. And there's always been just this little something that's sort of standing his way, the Thompson Road Tavern, number 8R. Watched him come up through the ranks and grow a little bit and become more mature of a driver, and he's been running very strong, good regular over there, good local supporter of Burton and Fulton, and just kind of waiting to see him turn the corner on a couple things here, and he's going to be one of those forces to contend with on a regular basis. You know, he's also done pretty well in some of the series dates. Let's give him another phone call and see if we can't track him down and see what's going on. We're going to be back on Thursday next week. We are going to have an episode during Labor Day week. We're going to have, it sounds like the All-Star event that was originally scheduled at Canandaigua Motorsports Park has been canceled, which is going to free Mike up. So we'll have Mike back in the studio for the first time in a long time. Be good to see him. And I'm hoping that we'll see John as well. And might even have the opportunity to catch up with Rich Post. Rich was key in putting this together for us here tonight. And, He's also got lined up for us Ted Barkham, so we're hoping to catch up with him here at some point, talk a little bit to the car owner. And it's not looking good for talking to Rob tonight, though. Well, that might be that. But we are going to regroup, and we're going to be back here next week again here, and everybody's going to be all together on the same page. I'm not really sure what Super Dirt Week holds for us at this point, because we've got a lot of different directions that each of us are going to be going. So I don't really know what the game plan with that is yet, but I know Mike and I, we've had a couple conversations about what our plans are, and have to see what we can do with Super Dirt Week up there in Syracuse. And maybe if we don't get a chance to catch up with him here at present, then we'll just turn around and maybe we'll catch up with Rob Bellinger up there in person at the Moody Mile. We're going to try this one more time and call it done. If we don't catch up with him, I think what we might do is just put a pin in this one and reserve it for next week when we got everybody here and everybody can weigh in on some of the conversations. I hope you guys appreciate how awkward it is to sit here on a phone waiting for it to be picked up while all these eyes sit here and watch me talk to nobody.
Hello.
Hey, Rob.
It's Chris with the 31st Lap. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I'm doing okay. Can I put you in?
What's
that? Can I put you in?
Yeah.
That worked out okay. We got Rob. Good. Rob, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Tell us a little bit about how your season's been. I mean, you've been running around the circles at Brewerton and Fulton. We've seen you at a couple of the different tour stops. You picked up a win here back in June. It sounds like it's been a pretty good season.
Well, it hasn't been too bad. We've had a few good runs here and there. We've had bad luck a lot of times. Last Saturday, we took the lead, and two laps later, we blew a right rear tire, and it's just little stuff like that's been happening, but all in all, it's been a pretty good year.
That's really, I mean, that's what we were trying to track you down on the line. That's one of the things that I had alluded to. It's just, it seems like there's just that little half step that you guys need to take, and you're going to be one of those front-running cars no matter where you go.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of races this year. If we weren't the fastest car there, we were right in the top group, and things haven't fallen our way. We haven't gotten the caution when we needed it. We haven't gotten the car to hold up for all 35 laps or whatever it's been. But hopefully it'll all come around and we'll start winning some races.
What does that do to team morale as you go through it? I mean, do you grasp onto the pack, the fact that you guys were among the fastest cars out there, or is the most recent memory the one where things went wrong and you guys start getting real down and bogged down and loaded up with man, if we'd only done this, is it easy to rally around the positives of having the fast car and being out there and being competitive?
I mean, this year really hasn't been bad. I mean,
right.
the stupid little things that have been happening, I mean, a lot of them, there's just nothing you can do about them.
That's for sure.
We've been doing pretty good about keeping morale up and going back to the next week with the same mentality that we can win the race. And I mean, the couple years prior to this, we've gone to the races and morale was low, and we couldn't figure the car out. We couldn't get the setup even close. And this year we've been a lot better with the setups, and other than small stuff happening, I mean, it's been good.
What's the difference at this point from last year to this year? You know, you were talking about setups. Is it just the fact that you've got a deeper notebook? Is it that you took better notes? Is it that you're paying attention to the car more? What's the difference?
There's the car we had at the end of last year. It had been fixed and clipped, and
right,
just it never really wanted to go real good. We couldn't figure it out, and we had it down there in Florida beginning of this year, and Ted was down there with us, and we threw everything at it, trying to get it to respond to what we were doing, and it wouldn't do much of anything. And we got back up here, and we got a new car, and we put it all together, and fortunately, this one has been really good. I mean, pretty much every change we make, it changes in the direction that we thought it was going to, and
right,
we've been able to keep going back to the track with basically the same stuff as the week before and just tune on a little bit here and there, as opposed to just throwing wholesale ideas at it and trying to get close.
Tell me a little bit more about the relationship as it's grown with Ted Barkham.
Well, we met probably, I think it was probably 3 or 4 years ago down in Charlotte. We were going down there with pretty much no help, and I called my buddy Johnny Pfeffer to try and get him to go down, and he was busy, couldn't make it, but he gave me Ted's number, so he helped us down in Charlotte for I think 3 years before Ted finally moved home, finally got his house sold and moved home, and it's been great this year. He's been at all the races with us, and he knows what he's talking about, and he knows people to call when we have an issue that we can't quite wrap our heads around, and he gets an answer that we can try, and seems to help, and he's always working for us, not only with that, but with part sponsors and a lot of the people that he met down in North Carolina. And
right.
Just all around, he's helped the race team dramatically.
And where's that relationship going to go? I mean,
it's right now, I mean, we've only been working together for a year, but, I mean, as far as I know, unless he has other plans, I mean, there's no plan on him not helping or not being around for any point during the future, and we got this deal going for Syracuse, and he got the car, and it's going to be in honor of his father, and it's going to be a pretty neat deal.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I saw the pictures of the shirts that are in now too.
What's that?
I saw the pictures of the shirts that are in now. You've got Super Dirt Week shirts that are in now that Ted was posting about on your Facebook page.
Oh yeah, he got new T-shirts made up for it, and I mean he's all in on that deal. I mean he's T-shirts and crew shirts, and it's definitely going to be a neat deal. I mean he's extremely excited about it as I am, and it's going to be fun.
What I was alluding to was what's the next step? You're going to continue to just focus on Fulton and Brewerton, or are you going to put a deeper effort into participating with the tour? Are you going to go and branch out and do some of these larger out-of-state shows, venture down into Pennsylvania a little bit more once this relationship becomes a little bit more established, get past that year mark? Or is what you've got right now all you guys really can handle just due to schedule conflicts and available hands?
It's tough with we ran the series for a couple of years and didn't really well, but it primarily it comes down to money.
Sure,
and it's just not there. I mean, I'd like to go back out and do it again, but it's just a matter of money and getting time off for work. And I mean, it's the same. I mean, even if we were to run the series, it's the same deal with Ted. I mean, he's got a normal day job, and it's hard for him to get off. If we wanted to go racing on a Wednesday or a Thursday, you know, I mean, Fridays, he comes straight from work, gets to the racetrack around 6, and that's how it is. I mean, it's tough for people and help to get out of work and be able to make the out of town shows that are in the middle of the week and up into Canada and everything else.
Right. Right. But I mean, what you've got right now, you've got a real solid notebook, and like you mentioned, you've got the runs that are starting to come together and building some momentum here. So things are certainly looking up for what you're doing at your home tracks.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. I mean, this time last year, I mean, we were still searching, trying to find what we needed, and now we're just going to the track just hoping that something stupid doesn't happen again. I mean, we're going to the track knowing that we have a car and a deal that's capable of winning just about every show we go to. And it's just a matter of something falling our way that night as opposed to what's been happening lately.
What's your take on Syracuse here? I mean, that's not too far away. We've also got right there at your home track, the Hurricane 100, the small block race during Super Dirt Week. And then the week before Super Dirt Week, we've got the Outlaw 200. I mean, you got a lot of big shows here that are only about a month away.
Yeah. I mean, the car we got will be taken to the Outlaw 200. And we'll just have to fix it up and make the changes for the rule changes. And
right.
But that'll be pretty well set. And then as far as Syracuse goes and the satellite shows, I think we're really going to just concentrate on going to Syracuse. I mean, we've been working on this for, I mean, well, Ted more than anybody has been working on it for almost a year now, just getting parts together and doing this and doing that. And I think we're going to go to Syracuse, and that's going to be the only thing on our plate. We're not going to try and spread ourselves thin trying to run satellite shows. We're going to go to Syracuse and give it the best effort we've got.
It's a smart decision. I mean, you see some of these teams that have real deep resources that when they go and try to hit all the satellite shows, even at Syracuse, it seems like they've even got themselves where they're spread pretty thin. And having a small team like what you've got, when you're already concerned about, you know, travel schedules and things along those lines, you've sort of got to pick what you're going to put your emphasis on. And with the program that's coming together with the tribute car and stuff, it only makes sense to try and make sure that you're giving yourself the best odds at Syracuse, because that place can sneak up and bite you in a hurry.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. I mean, 2 years ago we went and we had a small block car. I mean, we had one full crew, we had 7 guys, and we had one small issue with the small block car, and really, I mean, it hurt both programs, because you're trying to fix the small block car and stuff's not getting done to the big block car just because you don't have the time and the people to work on both.
Right.
And if you want to put your best effort in, you got to be concentrated on just the one car all week long and make sure that that's right and everything's good to go for Sunday.
What's your opinion of Syracuse as a whole?
Yeah, I like going there. I mean, it's just a neat deal. It's such a big show compared to everything else. I mean, you go there, you're there for a week, you get practice, and for a couple days you go out for hot weather, go out for your time trials. And I mean, time trials is a big deal, and everybody's watching. I mean, it's just a completely different atmosphere than pretty much any other race you go to in a dirt modified.
Right.
All the eyes are on you. You go out for, even when you're out for practice, I mean, everybody's looking at everybody else's practice times, and it's a neat deal, just the way everything's run, and it's a whole week deal. It's neat.
And you've been fast there before. I mean, you've been competitive at Syracuse in the past.
Yeah, I mean, last year was probably our best year. We weren't running real good, and we made some changes, and we timed like 18th or 19th or so, and we went out for the triple 20, and the car was the best it was all week, and we made it up to second, and got ourselves a real good starting spot, and we ran up there all day, and then fuel mileage became a factor, and we misjudged it a little bit and ran out with a few to go, but
right.
I mean, last year was a good year for us. We were within the top 10 all day. We just misjudged our fuel mileage and didn't make it.
Does it help getting all these little, the sort of nothing you can do about it problems out of the way earlier in the season? Does that mean that basically that the racing gods owe you something when you get to Syracuse when it really matters?
Well, Ted and I were kind of talking about that and hoping that we're getting all the bad luck out of the way before
right.
we get there. But I mean, it can happen anytime to anybody, and
sure.
you got to make sure you do everything you can, make sure all the nuts and bolts are tight, and just give yourself the best chance of the car making all 200 laps and hope that everything falls your way, you know?
And we've seen some oddball stuff happen up there, and the cards have fallen the way that no one would have predicted in the past. I mean, what would it mean for your team to come away from Syracuse with the championship from Sunday?
I mean, that would just be a huge boost for us. I mean, just the recognition you get, and that's the one race that everybody's watching, and for us to be able to win a show like that would just be incredible for our team, and not to mention the help you get with the purse, but
sure.
I mean,
it doesn't hurt.
Just with people noticing and knowing that you were there and you were the fastest car and you won the race, I mean, that'd be a huge deal at that place.
At the same time, you know, you talked about the size of that show. There's another big show in November, the World Finals in Charlotte. You made mention of that a couple times, that you guys had gone down there and you got together with Ted, and he helped you when you were down in Charlotte in years past. Are you guys planning on going back to Charlotte again this year?
Yeah, we're going to go to Charlotte. I mean, that's kind of one of the deals. It's fun to go down there. It's a weekend deal, and at the end of the year, that's kind of like the last hurrah, and you go down there and you have fun, and so we'll be going down, and hopefully we'll have some good runs and have a good time and end the season on a good note.
How about this weekend? You've got point races that are wrapping up at your home tracks. I mean, what are you expecting here when you go into the track at Brewerton and Fulton?
Well, Brewerton, I'm not even sure where we are at points at this point, but we've had bad luck a couple of the last races, and we should be starting in a decent spot, and hopefully we'll be able to get to the front. And Fulton's kind of the same way. I mean, we've had, like last week, we blew that tire, and we've had a couple bad runs, and we should be having a decent starting spot, and hopefully we can get up to the front and win that too. And I think Fulton, we're just about locked into fifth place, and
right.
we got a chance of maybe getting up to fourth, but hopefully we'll get there and we'll have a good run and see where it falls.
You worry a whole lot about points?
Not really, until the last little bit of the year, but I mean, the last few years it really hasn't mattered, but
sure.
This year, the last couple weeks, I wanted to make sure, at least at Fulton, that we were able to finish in the top five. I mean, we've had so many good runs and just a couple bad nights where just strange things have happened, and we've been working real hard and trying to make sure that we can at least get a top five out of Fulton.
Is your primary focus in racing so far? It's been modified. Do you have aspirations to try other forms and styles of motorsport, be it in the Central New York area or beyond that, if that opportunity arises?
I mean, if anything ever was to arise, I mean, I'd be more than happy to try something different, try a different car, try this, try that. But as far as our race team's concerned, I mean, I think pretty much modified is what we're doing, and that's going to be how it is for as long as we race. But I mean, if something was to arise, I'd be more than happy to try something different. But
so you're not chasing down rides for Classic Weekend at Oswego or the next 360 race?
What's that?
You're not chasing down rides for Classic Weekend at Oswego or anything in the next 360 race?
No, I've never really tried to go after anything other than modified stuff. And I mean, it'd almost have to be somebody just coming up and having an idea and wanting me in the car kind of deal. I don't really chase after anything that's not really in what I've been doing, you know.
You follow anything like the Cutsdown divisions, the stuff that they do down Cutsdown in Pennsylvania? A lot of guys get into those cars. I mean, it's a long haul for you, but if anything like that were to crop up around here, is it something that you'd look at?
I didn't hear what car you were talking about.
The slingshots that they got down there at Cutsdown.
I'd be more willing to try just about anything. I'm not scared of trying a different car or trying this or trying that. I'd be happy to try something out and see how it went. It'd be a different experience. It'd be fun.
There are a couple races after Syracuse in addition to the stuff at the World Finals. You guys going to try and make it to any of those, or is Syracuse and the World Finals going to be it for your season?
That's probably going to be it. I think we're going to go to Mohawk here in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. We've always had fairly good luck up there, run pretty well up there, and we'll go there, and then the Outlaw and Syracuse, and then probably just hit the World Finals, and that'll probably be just about a year for us.
This has been a weird year, hasn't it? I mean, it seemed like every driver that we've talked to, every one of them said that it was difficult to generate any type of consistency and flow just between the rainouts and the odd schedules, and it was tough to get any type of real momentum going. You've had plenty of good runs, and you've been finishing up front at both of your home tracks. At the same time, did you at any point through the course of the season feel that weird vibe where it was hard to really get into a regular routine?
Well, I mean, like you said, I mean, we had good cars most weeks, but the tracks kind of threw us for a loop about halfway through the year because they kept getting drier and drier, and then all of a sudden it was like a light switch, and the tracks started getting faster and heavier, and I mean, that definitely threw us off for a little bit, and we tried making adjustments for that, and we've kind of gotten to the point where we're good. I think we got a setup that we can run on both a heavy and a slick track now. But it has been kind of odd with the way that the tracks have been up here anyways, just kind of going back and forth, whether it's going to be slick or heavy, and you can't, before you get to the racetrack, you really don't have a real good idea of what you're going to be seeing that night.
Well, that's what you got the notebook there for, though. You know, that's what you alluded to a little bit ago here, is just making sure that you're prepared and you got a good group of people around you to make sure that you can make those changes. And the other thing is having a car that you can somewhat predict. I mean, talking about that car that had been band-aided back together and it just didn't want to go, once you got that out of the way and got into a piece that was compatible to what you guys were wanting to do, things really turned around.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it. I mean, you hear guys talk about good cars and bad cars all the time, and I think we got a good one this year just in the way that it reacts to everything we do to it. If we want to change something to make the car looser, we'll change it. And we have confidence that it's going to free the car up and it's going to do what we want it to do. That's it. I mean, it is a huge confidence boost as opposed to last year where we would throw something at the car just hoping that we could free the car up, and half the time it didn't seem like it made any change at all.
Got to have a good car, man. you said it best right there. You got to have a good car. Yeah. Is there anybody, before we let you go, is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of or wanted to thank in terms of the guys that helped keep that car going around at Brewerton and Fulton?
I mean, we got to thank, for one, everybody that helps us out on a weekly basis. And, I mean, my dad and Bob and Chris Schneider and Ted and my fiance Beth. And then, I mean, all of our sponsors that help us out when they can, and all of our part sponsors that Ted got. And, I mean, Thompson Road Tavern's been a huge help all year. And BRMS and FK Rod Ends and Westward Painting and JRU Store. I mean, just everybody's had a huge part this year in just helping us get from one week to the next, whether it be money or whether it be hands-on kind of stuff. And it's just, it's a tough deal. It's kind of a long season, and it takes a lot of people and a lot of help to make it through the whole thing.
And Beth's got a chance at a championship here coming up Saturday.
Yeah, she does. She's had a couple of rough weeks the last couple of weeks, but she's still in the ballpark, and if things fall her way, she could walk away with her second straight.
That wouldn't be too bad, huh?
No, that'd be pretty cool.
Does it make it awkward in the shop?
Not really.
All right. Well, Rob, man, I appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us here for the last half hour or so and talking about what your plans are for the upcoming season. You know, we wish you the best of luck this weekend at the home tracks and look forward to hearing more as this deal comes together for you over there at Syracuse.
All right. Thank you. And thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet, man. No problem.
All right.
Good luck. Thanks. And there goes Rob Bellinger. Wish him the best. I mean, we're going to be getting with Ted Barkham as well to get a little bit more detail on this, but basically the car's being run as a tribute to his dad. It's going to be car number 11. They're going to have that over there at Syracuse, and their focus is going to be on the 200 lapper and the modified. So we'll be catching up with Ted here in the next couple weeks, and good talking with Rob. He's been on the show before, and wish him the best. He's had a couple rough weeks leading up to the situation that we're in right now, so what we've got Fridays, he's probably got a couple good starting spots, and we can only wish him the best here, coming away with a couple wins at Brewerton and Fulton in their regular season finales. With still some more racing left on the other side of those. It's going to do it for us. Again, we are going to be back here on FingerLakes1.tv on Thursday. I believe Mike's going to be in the studio. It's going to be a little bit of a return to normal here after a really, really busy summer. Some crazy schedules for everybody, and we'll be able to come back and reconvene here and talk a little bit about what we've seen and where we've been. We appreciate it again. Thanks a lot for all the support. The 31st lap was featured by Stitcher Radio, and in tied with that, we have the number 2 rated show all time with over 2,300 views. The Tragedy at Canandaigua episode. It's a tough one to be known for, you know. But at the same time, it's really cool to have somebody like Stitcher Radio feature the show, and we welcome all the new listeners that have joined on the 31st lap bandwagon because of it. That's going to do it for us. We appreciate you joining us and hanging out with us tonight, and we're going to be right back here next week. We'll see you next time. Thanks.